Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And then if you could go with me to Philippians 4. And I apologize, someone turned in some scripture verses Wednesday night on a little slip of paper, and that little slip seemed to have slipped someplace, and I can't find it. So if you can remember, whoever it was that wrote some scriptures down for us to practice, if you could kindly do that again, I apologize. Unless it comes up on my desk somewhere, I searched this morning and I could not find it. So, and we want to get those verses to practice them for the ones that you'd like to. So, in Philippians chapter 4, and let's do 6 and 7 again. So, we'll go through it three times together then. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So pray that that would just be in our minds. We could experience that peace that passes all understanding. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for this opportunity that we can just hide these scripture verses in our hearts, Father, that we might not sin against you, that we might be a blessing to those around us. Amen. With these verses, Father. We thank you for that, Father. Yes. We thank you for this time we have to spend together here this morning around your word and the freedoms that we have to do exactly that, Father.
Yes.
May we not take those for granted. Father, we do pray for a revival in our hearts, Father.
Amen.
We pray for a revival in our families. We pray for a revival in our communities. Land, Father, that
amen.
Your spirit, Father, would sweep through our families and across our land, and may we just be drawn closer to you. May our lives reflect Jesus Christ and all that he's done in our lives. And may the lost, Father, come to know you as Savior because of this great revival that we're praying for, Father.
Amen.
Father, we pray for the people in Ukraine today, that your sons and daughters over there, the Christians over there, Father, that right now are displaced and, and looking at the destruction over there. They're looking at the physical over there, Father. I pray that they look to the spiritual.
Yes.
They'd look to you for encouragement. They'd look to you, Father, for their protection.
Yes.
They'd look to you, Father, for their peace.
Amen.
At this time, Father, I pray that you'd be with each one, that you just protect them and, and give them peace. Father, that peace that passeth all understanding, the peace they can only have because they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray for the Russians and Ukrainians and those on the borders, Father, that even through this conflict, many, many souls would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray as we open up your word here today, Father, that you speak to our hearts and we'd be drawn closer to you as a result of it and better equipped to serve you in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 11. We're talking about Palm Sunday today. Mark, chapter 11. I'm still in Philippians 4 here. I got to get in the right spot. Mark 11 and verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before, and they that followed, cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So today is Palm Sunday. It's the commemoration of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but in less than a week, Jesus would be hanging on the cross. So it just shows you how fast the crowd can change. The crowd here is saying, Hosanna. In a little while, in less than a week, they'll be crying out, Crucify him, crucify him. How many of you here can speak Greek? Okay, say with me, let's see here. What verse was it? Verse 9. It says, And they went before, and they that followed, and cried, Hosanna. Okay, say it with me together. Hosanna. Once again. Hosanna. Once again. Hosanna. Now you can speak Greek. Okay? That is the Greek word. It's not translated. So does anybody ask you, can you speak Greek? Sure. Oh, tell me. Hosanna. Okay? That is Greek. That's the Greek word. Hosanna. So, as I mentioned, so 1 minute they're praising God, the next minute they're crying out for his destruction. Okay, how can we be used of God? We look at here, the first point is the cry of Hosanna. The cry of Hosanna. How can we be used in our lives this week and through the rest of our lives that people would cry out glorifying God? Hosanna. What can we do? Well, let's look at a few things here. Number one, two men were willing to obey and be sent of the Lord. Two men were willing to obey and be sent of the Lord in verses 1 through 7. Well, what did Jesus say into these? Well, in verse 2, he and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither. Now this took some courage. Go loose the colt at a certain place. If anyone says anything to you, just say the Lord has need of him. That took some courage to do. You just don't go loosing someone's colt. You know, in this day, you just wouldn't go taking someone's vehicle, you know, jumping in and driving off. Say, well, you know, the Lord hath need of this vehicle. It took some courage, and I am not suggesting you go steal somebody's car. Bad idea. Okay, this was but I'm saying, you know what, it takes courage to be sent of the Lord to go do something for God, doesn't it? It takes courage. Did you look in your bulletin there on the inside? on the. I put a little thing up there because out witnessing is it's dogs. I mean, and last year with Brother Jesse, he is the dog controller. Okay. But unless you're with Brother Jesse, whenever we're coming to a house and we see dogs, it's like, you know, you're happy when it's Brother Jesse's turn. Okay. But when out witnessing, we complain about pit bulls. Well, look what's following them. I mean, the real thing, the bulls with the horns are following them. We do. We have it so easy in America. But it does take courage to be son of the Lord and to go out and try to bear his name before people. That takes courage. These two men had courage. They were willing to obey the Lord. So that's with us. Lord, what do you want me to do? It might be something that takes a little courage. Are we willing to do it? Look with me in Isaiah 6, if you would. Isaiah 6. Something that takes courage. It takes courage to hand out a gospel tract. And, you know, you may see something done with a gospel tract after you hand it out. I was at a drive-through this week and gave a young man a gospel tract. And so we moved on to the next window. We paid there and moved on to the next window. And so I'm looking in the restaurant and... So I see that same young man, now he's up at the first window, the second window, and he's got the gospel tract, and he's showing it to the lady. I have no idea what he was saying. I have no idea if he was mocking it. I have no idea if it ended up in the trash, or if it was a conversation about, look at this, you know, read this. I have no idea what the result was. But it might be that you do something and then you see that they're mocking you. So the next time, what's it going to take? It's going to take courage to hand out the next one because someone just mocked you. They ridiculed you. So it takes courage to be used of God. In Isaiah 6, let's go to verse 8. Isaiah 6, 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I what? Send. And who will what? Go for us. Isn't this like with the two guys? Go to a certain spot, loose the colt. If anyone says anything, you just tell them, I have need of them. Who will go for us? Then said I what?
Here am I.
Send. You know, when Philip went to the Ethiopian eunuch, it was out in the wilderness. He was at a thriving awakening, revival. God sends him out to the wilderness. But God, that's wilderness. You know, there's no Holiday Inn out there. Lord, that's desolate. I don't even think there's any restaurants out there, Lord, to get something to drink or something to eat. He sent him in the wilderness, and what did he find? A man searching, a eunuch searching for the truth. As Jesus said in John 4, my meat is to do the will of my Father. So as we read on here, he said, here am I, send me, verse 9. And he said, what? Go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, what? How long? So Lord, you're telling me to go tell these people this, and yet you're telling me they're going to close their eyes, close their ears. They're not going to listen. They're not going to understand. They're not going to be interested. So he says, how long? In other words, Lord, okay, you're sending me to go. They're not going to listen, but how long are they going to act this way? Okay. So as we read on here, verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be what?
Wasted
without inhabitants. And the houses what?
Without man.
And the land be what? Utterly desolate. He said, God told Isaiah, you keep going and telling them until there's no one in any houses anymore. There's no one in any cities. The land is desolate. Isaiah, this is your task. I'm sending you to these people, even though they will not hear. It's up to you to give them the truth. That's your job, Isaiah. That is your job. So where's the success in that? Where's the reward in that? Where is the reward in that? Where is the reward for us for giving out the gospel? Where is our ultimate reward? Heaven, right. That was Isaiah's reward because he was not going to see it in Israel. Israel was going to be killed and deported for the most part. Just a very few left, and then they were hauled off to Egypt. That was it. So with that thought, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Thinking about, this is Palm Sunday, and then thinking about next Sunday is Easter. Well, how can we celebrate an Easter? How can we celebrate next Sunday the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, what was between this triumphal entry where they're saying, what's that Greek word you know?
Hosanna.
Hosanna. You can't speak Greek. What is the difference between Hosanna time and resurrection time? Crucifixion. Death. There can be no resurrection without death. But was Jesus unsuccessful in this week to come? No, he was not. He was successful. In Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of what?
Witnesses.
You know, we don't realize it, but people do watch us because we are, you know, we're not famous, we're not rich, we don't have a name, and so we think no one's paying any attention to us. But we'd be surprised how many people are watching us, especially if they know we're Christians. So we have a great cloud of witnesses around us. Let us lay aside every weight and what? The sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's so much different than our country. We don't know how this country is going to end up. I mean, people for years have said, why isn't America in prophecy? America is such a great and powerful nation. Why aren't we in prophecy? Well, the fact is we're just a baby nation, a little over 200 years old, and we're fast going downhill. The difference with Jesus is he's the one that authored this faith, and he's finishing it. Our problem right now is we can't go to George Washington and say, George, When you were asked to take control, this was a tiny little nation of colonies. It wasn't a nation. It was colonies and ragtag group militias. George, God used you to pull this thing together and become a nation. George, we need your help again because this place is disintegrating. We can't call on George, can we? We can't. But when it comes to the faith, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He's the author and finisher of our faith. No one else is going to step in and say, oh, well, I decided that you're not really saved. I decided that I know what Jesus said, but I decided that you can't go to heaven. Aren't you glad that's not a possibility? Aren't you glad that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith? Who for the joy that was set before him, what?
Endured the cross.
Despising what?
Shame.
The shame. They were wagging their heads at him on the cross. His hands, his feet are nailed to the cross. The only part of his body that could move was his head. And so his head would be going back and forth. You know how it is. How was your night last night? Did you roll and toss, roll and toss? Why were you hurting? You know how it is. Just hit your thumb with a hammer and see if you can hold perfectly still. That probably is not going to happen. When you're hurting bad, you're moving. Does it help? Probably not, but you just have to. You have to move because you're hurting. Jesus' head is going back and forth. The Bible says they wagged their head. They were mocking him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of what? The throne of God. The Bible says he endured the cross. He did not enjoy the cross. He endured it. How could you enjoy taking the sin of the whole world upon you when Jesus is sinless? That would have to be something you would endure, because the pure, sinless Son of God would never enjoy taking the sin of the world. He despised the shame. He's God in the flesh. He is the creator of heaven and earth and all of mankind, and yet they are spitting in his face. They are slapping him. I've read about someone, I guess this guy is famous, he slapped someone recently, and I know nothing about the guy, what he does, what he doesn't do. His name is not familiar to me. But anyway, he slapped somebody, and it's, they're still talking about it. They slapped Jesus, and he did nothing back. He could have. Just before that hand that was going to slap him, just a split second before it hit his face, you know what he could have done? He could have cut that hand right off. He could have cut it right off. I wonder how those people would have responded. Like shock, trauma. I just lost my hand. He could have done that, but he didn't. He suffered it for us. And so between the, what's that Greek word? Hosanna. Between Hosanna and the resurrection had to come what? Death, crucifixion and death. He died on the cross for our sins. And what about us? What might we face in this week? Notice with me in John chapter 12. John chapter 12. None of us know, do we? We don't know what we might have to face. But in John 12:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what?
Die."
How many of you plan on planting anything? Okay. Yeah, several people. Okay. What is true? Well, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it what?
Biteth
alone. Those seeds that you're going to plant, Lord willing, have to go where? Down in the ground. They have to be out of what?
Sight.
Out of sight. So, you know, in our lives, if this week, if we want the glory for whatever it is, and if we want the limelight, probably nothing good is going to come out of this week. What do we need to do this week if we want to see something good come out of our lives? We have to die what?
To self.
1 Corinthians 15:31. Paul said, "I die daily." So what we need to do is, what are we talking about? Are we talking about Christians commit suicide every day? No, that's not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about, what does it mean to die to self? It means to be what? Humble. Humble. Not demand to be number one or to be in the limelight or whatever it is. But it's just having a servant's heart. A servant's heart. That's what we need. John 12:24. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth what? Alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Does anyone happen to know how many kernels of corn are on the average cob? I don't know. I just thought about that, so I didn't have time to look it up. And cobs of corn are all different lengths, so that might be hard anyway. But all I know is you put one kernel in the ground and you get a lot of them in return. But the only way to get a lot of them in return is to put that seed where? In the ground. If you can still see the seed, what's going to happen? That's a very good possibility that the crows might get it, or a squirrel, or can't think of those other, the cranes. I'm not sure what cranes eat, but we seem to have a lot of cranes around here now. Yeah, it's probably going to be gone. If that corn seed lays on top of the ground, there's a lot of crows in the cornfields. Yeah, it's probably going to be gone and not produce anything. So what about us? Between, what's that Greek word? Hosanna. Between Hosanna and glorious resurrection is what? Death and crucifixion. So may God help us this week to be humble. Speaking the truth in what? Love. That's what we looked at. Speaking the truth in love. And when we're witnessing, when sharing Christ, it's being honest. Honesty. Truth. Speak it in love. But if we don't be honest with them, if we don't give them the truth, they're probably what? Not going to hear it. They're probably not going to hear it. May God use us this week, not for our glory, but for His. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look forward to the resurrection day, but we know before that day comes humility. The Lord Jesus suffered and died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, if there should be any here today that have never been saved, help them to realize that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He came through a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And He died on the cross, bearing our sin in His own body on the tree, on the cross. He was buried and rose again from the grave because His blood was sufficient to pay the price for all of our sins. I pray that no one would leave here rejecting Christ, but would receive that forgiveness that He's offering, that He already paid for. Lord, may it be a wonderful week, a week of victory as we see people come to life in Christ, to know Him. May we know the power of the resurrection, being willing to humble ourselves and then seeing You do the impossible, do the miraculous. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's